All right, we're going to call to order the November 27, 2018 Chatham County Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. Good morning and welcome to everyone here. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving and maybe hopefully your pants are fitting again the way they should. We'll get started with the first item on our agenda, which is approval of the October 23rd, 2018 meeting minutes that have been distributed to the board. Any discussion on those minutes? Now I will entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the minutes as written.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Go ahead and vote. Minutes have been approved. The next item on our agenda is Lyons Parkway for a sign distance variance, and we'll hear from staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item is an item of old business that we was originally scheduled for our last meeting. The applicant is requesting a variance in the separation requirements for separate use signs, which are billboards, for the subject property. Just a little bit of background, and I won't go into great detail. I know that the applicant has some discussion about sort of the history of this that they're going to share with you today.
But as I mentioned, they're requesting a variance from the separation requirement. Where billboards are permitted, they're required separation on interstate interchanges. These conditions occur all over the county. The applicant had sought initially a building permit from Chatham County to establish this billboard. This proposed billboard and was denied. That's the reason we're here today. The county zoning administrator determined that the proposed location was outside the signable quadrant where billboards can be permitted. The signable area for billboards along interstates is an area of 500 feet from the interchange to 1,700 feet from the interchange, and within that quadrant, there are a maximum of 3 billboards can be permitted. The proposed location that was denied by the zoning administrator is approximately 800 feet outside the signable quadrant. Additionally, at some point in this process...
So it's 2,500 total from the 800 outside of the signable
this
quadrant?
This was proposed, yes.
So it's a total of 2,500 from the interchange?
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct. The applicant at some point executed a lease agreement with the property owner, which is CSX Railroad, and that agreement was executed after a local government certification was provided by Chatham County. And what that is a process by which a letter is provided by the county to the Georgia DOT, essentially verifying that the proposed location meets local regulations. Apparently that letter was provided by the county at some point, and based on that letter, the applicant went ahead and entered into an agreement with the property owner to lease the area for the proposed billboard.
Do we have a copy of that?
We do have a copy. I'll provide you all a hard copy of it. It should be in your change it after that letter was provided, which was different from a zoning verification letter, something else that the county often will provide to applicants verifying that a use is approved on a certain piece of property. So that letter was provided, and then the applicant went into an agreement with CSX, subsequently found out that the building permit was being denied by Chatham County. And so that's kind of how we got here today. This is an exhibit provided by the applicant that shows the end of the entrance ramp, which is the beginning of the measurement point, and the proposed location of the new billboard. Based on the information that has been provided thus far, staff is not recommending approval of the separation requirement. We don't find any reasoning to allow a billboard or this new proposed billboard outside of the signable quadrant. So based on that, we're recommending denial of the request to the variance for the separation requirement.
Do we have any information on this Lamar sign that's on this exhibit that's outside of the quadrant? Do we know when there or how it came to be?
We tried to find, that sign's been there for, to the best of my knowledge, 20 years or more. I can't give you any information on how or when that was placed.
When was our last sign ordinance updated? Wasn't it recently, in the last few years?
There's been some updates to the sign ordinance. Are you talking specific to billboards? Mm-hmm. That has not been updated in the last couple of years in the county. There were some updates to the city ordinance related to billboards.
Any change between when this Lamar sign went and now with respect to the specific ordinance we're traveling under today?
Well, one of the issues with the existing sign is that we're not 100% sure when it was actually established. There's no permit history apparently available for that sign.
And Marcus, where in relation to that sign is the new sign proposed to be?
In relation to the?
To the Lamar.
600 feet more.
Yeah, so the Lamar sign is approximately here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So is the proposed site for the new sign is where?
Right there.
Okay. This picture's not the same.
It's flipped.
What's that blue?
Yeah. Tell us, what's the purpose of this, having this quadrant, the sign quadrant?
I think you can speculate that the intent of that was to localize billboards near interchanges and not strictly along highways where there were no exit ramps.
My name Philip McCorkle, and I'm here for the applicant.
Will you sign that, Mr. McCorkle?
The issue is really distance from the interchange, not really separation. There's no issue of separation, which is 500 feet apart for all signs, which is just not really important, but it's just really it's distance from the interchange rather than separation between the signs. We're not asking for a variance for that. The ordinance does say separate use signs along interstate highways shall be limited to three, and then there's an area per quadrant. There's 500 feet from the end of the ramp, which is a blackout zone. And there's another 1,200 feet, which would be called the signable quadrant. That's what the ordinance says. The state law does not require that. State law says you have a blackout zone 500 feet from the intersection, and then the signs have to be 500 feet apart, period. That's all it says. So we are in compliance with state law, which is part of what the county ordinance requires. Now, at some point, the DOT decided that they wanted to limit the number of signs along the interstate. So they came up with an I-95 plan, and they did it in conjunction with Union Camp, who owned a tremendous amount of property along the interstates, and the billboard industry, represented by Dick Estes, who was here with us today, still around, and he was quite active. He's barely active now in the billboard industry, helps these young men out, but he was quite active back then, so he helped negotiate what was agreed to, and of course the DOT and one or two other folks. And so the I-95 plan was designed, and Mr. Estes will confirm this if you want him to come up here, but I'm sure he'll confirm it just by nodding when I say it. The purpose was to limit billboards to three per interchange quadrant. Instead of having them, multiple billboards on the interstate, they wanted three. And so, for some reason, the county added this language about, they adopted the three, they adopted the 500-foot blackout, and they adopted the 500-foot separation, both of which are in state law, but the county added that there'd only be a signable quadrant of from 500 to 1,700 feet. And the three signs, 500 feet apart, have to be in that quadrant. And of course, property has to be zoned properly as well. And there aren't that many zones that really allow billboards. A lot of land along interstates are residential or agricultural and don't allow billboards. So those are the issues you are faced with. There's one billboard on 516 interchange quadrant, which you've already identified as a Lamar sign. The only, and this is important, from Veterans Parkway to Montgomery Street, which is this entire section of 516, there's one spot that's zoned which will allow an additional billboard. And that's owned by CSX. It's zoned heavy industrial because of CSX, and it's a railroad. As a matter of fact, CSX also owns the site where the Lamar sign is today. But they own the area in here. And this area is here, owned by CSX. So that's something that's important when you start looking at the standards that you're to consider when deciding whether to grant a variance or not. The standards are difficult to apply to a distance variance or height variance or some other things other than size, shape, or topography, because the first standard says the extraordinary and exceptional conditions pertaining to a particular piece of property, which I think I can demonstrate. Then it says because of its size, shape, or topography, and that kind of limits how that standard can be applied. Doesn't make much sense to include that, but really you're looking at whether they're exceptional or extraordinary circumstances. And I always combine A with C. Such conditions, which are the extraordinary and exceptional conditions, A, are peculiar to the particular piece of property involved. And my argument is, and I think the facts show, that it is peculiar to the one piece of property. It's, and the staff says this portion of the roadway is not unlike many others in the vicinity in Chatham County, or in general. Well, we're talking about not all of Chatham County. We're talking about interstate highways. They're only 1695 and 516. And we're talking about this section of interstate highway from Montgomery Street to the Veterans Parkway. And then we're talking about property zoned that would allow a separate use sign or a billboard, and there is exactly one along this section of road. So those are, that is an extraordinary circumstance. This is the only piece of property that a billboard can be put on. And it is peculiar to this piece of property. So I think we satisfy that. The second standard, B, is the application of this chapter to this particular piece of property would create an unnecessary hardship. And I think there are three reasons that you could say, yes, it would create an unnecessary hardship. Number one, and again, I'm not here to pick on anybody. My clients have a great relationship with Mr. Seebeck, and will continue to do so no matter what happens here today. But the reality is, when they started thinking about putting a sign at this location, they did what they always do. They go to the zoning administrator of the county or the city, no matter where it is in this state or other states, and say, can we put a billboard here? And in this particular form, it's not a, really a zoning letter because it's a DOT form that has to be signed off on. It says, I do hereby certify that I reviewed the location and description of the outdoor advertising structure described on the attached application and find the sign is to be located in an area appropriate for such structures and is in compliance with all local laws, ordinances, and regulations. So, based upon that assurance, whether it was a mistake or not, based upon that, they went to the process of, which took 7 months to secure a lease with the CSX. If anybody's ever dealt with any railroad, they know how problematic that can be. It took a very long time, had to jump through a lot of hoops, spent $10,000 on surveys, attorney's fees, lease negotiations, anything you can imagine to get a lease with CSX for the sign location. So it is a hardship if this is now, if this variance application is denied, there is a real world hardship that my client will suffer. There are two other hardships. My client is a small billboard company, and 95% of the billboards in Chatham County are owned by one company, Lamar Outdoor Advertising. So they're doing their best to get a toehold and to compete with Lamar. And this is an excellent, really incredibly good location for this small company. And if there, and there are no other competing locations in this general vicinity, this is it. If you can't put it here, then Lamar will continue to have a monopoly on the section of road from Veterans Parkway down to Montgomery Street. So that's a hardship for their company. And the third, I think, is interesting because you answer B by looking at the staff's response to D. D is, relief if granted would not cause substantial detriment to the public good or impair the purposes and intent of the zoning ordinance. And the staff's response to that was, if the relief is granted, it is not likely to cause detriment. Well, if it doesn't cause detriment, then it's an unnecessary hardship. You know, you try to protect against detriment to cause a hardship for a property owner. If the property owner is not going to cause detriment, then it's unnecessary. So I think you've answered B by the staff's response in D. The other thing I would point out is not just to show how innocent this approval would be and how non-threatening it would be and how it would not cause detriment to the public good. It's not just this intersection. There are They're I-95 and I-16, and there's 204 and 95, and then there's this interchange. Those are the interchanges in Chatham County with interstate highways, and this code section pertains only to interstate highways. Most of those are in one city or the other. There are a few quadrants of the different interchanges that are in Chatham County, so this ordinance applies to those. Of those quadrants, this is 95 and 16 South. There's the block out. There's the 1,200 feet. And here on Lamar's signs, the closest one is 1,800 feet from the Simon quadrant. This is 204 and 95. The pink ones, I'm sorry, we put those on there. Those are from the city. These are the ones in the county. There's the blockout area. There's the 1,200 feet cutoff. And there's the Lamar's three signs. And the closest one is 1,268 feet, if I'm reading that correctly. Yes, 1,268 feet from the 1,700 foot signable quadrant. This is the interstate going in the other direction. Same interchange. There's the 500 foot block out, 1,700 feet total, which is a signable quadrant. There's a sign owned by Summers Oil, which is here, which is 183 feet outside of the signable quadrant, and then Lamar's sign down here. So Lamar owns 11 of the 12 signs, and no sign complies with this ordinance. So one sign, another sign not complying with the ordinance is not going to cause the earth to shake. I don't think it'll do any harm to the county or the people in the county, and not allowing it, I think, was an unnecessary hardship to my client. And I'll be glad to answer any questions.
You put the photograph of the interchange back up.
This one?
Subject site.
Okay. Yes.
I'm somewhat familiar with this area, riding by it quite frequently. Can you generally define where CSX's property lines are?
Well, they own all up into here. This is property owned by the city of Savannah. It's an apartment complex. I believe there's a big lake there, so that's government property.
Frog Pond.
That big old Frog Pond, whatever you want to call it. And when you get past Frog Pond, that's where CXS generally picks up. Okay. And they've got some land they haven't really developed in here, but that's all their tracks. When you cross over, you see all the tracks. And the area that we want to put the signs right by the tracks and the overpass.
So obviously the low-lying areas are not developable.
Nope. And all these are zoned residential. So again, this is the only spot on this road.
And the sign will be facing
that direction.
North.
You see it coming from that direction.
The other side of the tracks is Hunter Army Airfield, I believe.
Hunter and then residential. Once you pass Hunter, then there's some residential areas.
But that's almost up to Montgomery Street.
It is up to Montgomery Street.
On the other side of I-16, is there any possible detriment to other residents on the other side of I-16 from this side?
516?
Yes.
No, this is, that's Staley Avenue.
Okay.
This is undeveloped back here, and it's pretty low. The big cell tower just went up, but these houses have been there for a long time. I somehow went and looked at that cell tower site, and that's extremely low. I don't see that developing at all. But this is 500 feet, and these lots are more than 500 feet deep from the houses that are on State Avenue.
Do you know how that parcel or parcels are zoned on that side?
Yes, it's all residential.
This is a SEPCO a Georgia Power substation out here. This is a little subdivision called the sign.
Right.
And that is the only area you can put the sign in, because if you would review that again.
It's the only area zone that allows principal use signs. In between, the intersection, the interchange, and Montgomery Street.
By chance, have we heard from Lamar?
We have not, no.
And the nature of this billboard is that it's not static, it's rolling edges?
Digital.
They sure are distracting to a driver.
And we have no idea how Lamar obtained a permit to put that sign there?
They have 11 signs in the different intersections. I don't have the information on how they obtained it.
Mr. Estes may have some historic information on that.
You know how Lamar got those signs?
So what?
You know how Lamar got all the signs there?
I really don't know how they got there, but I think in the past, the Lions Parkway was not an interstate, and it wasn't changed until later on, so I would assume that they got those locations when it was just Lions Parkway.
Well, that one location.
Yeah.
Then they got 10 other signs on the interstates outside of the
city. I think most of their signs on that stretch of road are not conforming. I don't know. Correct.
Any other questions on the petitioner?
No.
Thank you. Anyone here from the public to speak on this matter? Are there any other questions of staff now that we've heard more information?
I do have one more question. We have no date as to when this ordinance, these specifications were made in ordinance.
Are you talking about the requirements for billboards as they are currently written?
Mm-hmm.
No, but I can find that out for you.
How high is this board going to be?
My client tells me 35 feet above road grade. And this is from memory. I don't have it written down in the file, but I looked at that issue that you asked about. I believe that was adopted in 2001, 17 years ago, that particular I-95 plan type thing.
Is line of sight. These types of boards, I understand, are quite bright, as I've noticed them around. Is there any possibility of residential areas being within line of sight of this board?
My client says no, and I've worked on this file. I've written up and down a bunch of times and looking. And no, I mean, there's just not any residential areas that you can see it.
Surrounded by wooded and low-lying areas and military base on the backside.
That's right.
Yeah. So the only possible area to be affected would be on the east side of 516.
Right. And as I've said, those are low areas, never been built all these years, and about 600-700 feet deep of woods.
I'd just be surprised. I ride down Staley all the time. That's on the top right of this photo is my church. I go down there all the time, and every week. And I just don't see that being developed back there. I'd be surprised at this point.
How long is your lease?
20 years.
20 years.
I know there's some discussion of those signs, and I understand it, but they are the way now, and they are approved.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to respond back to Ms. Hitch's question about the ordinance adoption. It was 2001.
Thank you. My only reservation is that billboards have been a very debated issue for many years, and I think that Savannah's made a big point of restricting them within the city. This is not within the city. It is along a major highway that's utilized by probably thousands, maybe even millions, and whether it's developed and affects the residential area may not be the issue. So I have some reservation about this. I realize it's in an area that is not going to be probably built on and that the CSX owns. But 20 years from now, who knows? This road may be widened. It may be changed. I don't know. But I think billboards are difficult for a lot of people to handle when they're in areas that are not allowed. And allowing another one to go into an area could be a problem down the road as well. The Lamar signs, nobody knows when they were put up. Adding fuel to the fire of allowing another one in another area that's not approved, I have a problem with that.
All right, see, I've gone through this a little while. Can you go through one more time what is staff's interpretation of the purpose of this section of the ordinance for having a signable quadrant?
The signable quadrant, in my opinion, the intent of that is to...
I want to add to that a little bit. What do you think the purpose of having the addition of the additional 1,200 feet that Mr. Corporal mentioned? He said the state law was kind of the 500-500 as I wrote it down. And he said that the county added in the additional, the maximum.
Yeah. I think the intent of that would be to avoid having a billboard every 500 feet along a highway, or potentially every for any distance. So you want that the intent likely was to create an area in which billboards could be established, but not allow them all the way along, between interchanges along a highway. Because potentially if you've got, a 5,000 foot stretch of highway, theoretically, you could have a billboard based on state law every 500 feet.
In this situation, if you keep going the direction of the proposed billboard, you hit Montgomery Street and residential, so you lose that risk here.
Well, yeah, because then you get into just the normal requirements on regular streets versus the interstates, which
wouldn't be
separate
at that point.
Right.
And that's within the city, Montgomery Street, I believe.
That's correct, yes.
So in this situation, that purpose is not as much an issue.
Which purpose? The separate?
You don't want one every 500 feet in continuum. So it would stop because you'd be...
Because you're getting to a local street, yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. All right. So
where you've got a number of billboards, on Montgomery at Durant. I'm sorry, at Durant at Montgomery. And on down,
that alleviates the detriment that the statute is trying to avoid, in my opinion.
Is the petitioner bound to CSX by the lease if the sign is not permitted? Do they still have to perform over that 20-year period?
I doubt it. Do you know? I've not reviewed that lease, so let me ask my client. Do you have to pay the money even if you put the billboard up?
No, we don't.
No.
But there's no recovery process for the money they've already expended in this endeavor?
There is not.
I had no heartburn before, and after listening to the purpose of it, I have even less of a problem with it.
I agree, Mr. Chairman, and based on that, I'm prepared to offer a motion that we grant relief based on there being no substantial detriment to the public good.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? And then we'll have a vote.
Clarification, an aye vote allows the sign to go forward?
Yes.
Okay.
In other words, this will approve the variance.
The motion. That's approval of the motion. An aye vote.
That Jay is an amazing voter.
All right, the sign's been approved. Good luck with your sign, Mr. Corporal. Thank you.
Thank you all.
I'll take care. Thanks for educating us on an interesting new issue as well.
Yeah. Thank you for your patience in allowing us to postpone you for a month. Thank you.
The next item on our agenda is 19 Rockaway Lane, a side yard setback variance. I'm here for staff.
Are they going to need an LDA to put in that sign? What's that? Are they going to need an LDA?
And Marcus.
Yes, sir.
19 and 21 seems pretty
good. 19 and 21 are related. They were submitted by the applicant both together. And I'll be happy to talk about both of them, but it will take two actions because they're two separate properties.
Let's do that. Let's combine the presentation, and then we'll take two separate.
So these properties, 19 and 21 Rockaway Lane, these are part of phase four of the Villages at Autumn Lake, which is a existing single family residential subdivision. There are a number of lots within that subdivision that are still currently under construction, some phases that are not quite complete yet. This tax map shows you 19 Rockaway Lane, 21 Rockaway Lane is immediately to the east there. The petitioner, and this is a little bit of a strange circumstance, the houses that are both on both of those lots are substantially complete at this point. The petitioner is requesting for 19 Rockaway Lane a 1.5 foot side yard setback variance from the 5 foot requirement, and on 21 Rockaway Lane a 2 foot side yard setback variance. Apparently, and I'll let the applicant talk about this part of it a little bit, but at some point during the construction, after the permits were granted by the county, there was a decision in the field to move the house at 19 slightly forward about 10 inches to avoid a tree in the rear yard or to help protect it. Because those lots are not completely or perfectly rectangular, that impacted the side yard setback on both lots. As you can see, both of the houses are, as I mentioned, substantially complete, and the impact of this created the side yard encroachments that were discovered by county staff during the review process, or the inspections process, I should say. And here is just wanted to identify 21 Rockaway Lane for the record, but both of these properties were submitted by the applicant. You can see the area of encroachment here. And here. The rest of the neighborhood on that side of the street is about complete. There's an additional lot that's still under, has not been constructed yet. That lot will not be impacted by the location of the house at 21 Rockaway Lane, which is that one. Staff is recommending approval of the side yard setback variances. One of the primary reasons we felt that there would be a very limited impact is because with those setback requirements, that puts a minimum of 10 feet between each house. That will still be achieved even though the houses are closer to their property lines than they're required to be by the regulation. But we believe that there's still adequate separation between the structures, even though they don't meet the setback. In the case of 19 by 1.5 feet, and in the case of 21 by 2 feet.
What's the issue here with Oak Haven Lane? He's behind these houses?
Yeah, there's a property owner who is behind 19 Rockaway Lane, who has his letter of opposition is there in your package. Frankly, based on the letter, I don't know that he totally understood what was happening here. I think he was concerned that there might be some encroachment on the rear, which there is not, because that would be the only thing that would potentially impact him. In fact, the house at 19 Rockaway was moved further away from his property by the action taken in the field.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't understand what his opposition was. I don't think he understood it.
So Marcus, it would be 10 foot between number 17 and 19.
Yes.
And 10 foot between 19 and 21?
In fact, a little bit more than that. I'm going to show you this exhibit here. Structures here and almost 11 feet between the structures here.
And the setback is only 5 feet?
Yes, sir.
So this was his plan, and then which one moved forward?
That one.
No,
I'm sorry, this one was the one that was moved forward.
Okay. So it moved 10 feet?
Inches.
10 inches, okay. 10 inches forward. Any other questions of staff?
I do have a question. I don't understand what the remedy could be.
Well, I considered that, and in the report, the only remedy essentially is to demolish either the house or a portion of the house enough to rebuild it within the setback, which obviously is an extreme remedy. But that's the only way at this point it can be solved other than through this process.
Recladding.
We've never made someone tear down an entire house since I've been here. We have made someone tear down a carport.
Yes,
that was the latest. I remember that gentleman. That happens when really we work with people.
That's good.
And is the subject the tree
between the next house unique
to the backyards on that side? Are there some
other
significant?
They came in to replant.
There's a pine tree.
What happened? They came in to replant. Remember they were just going to, what happened?
He said that creates legal issues with the adjacent property. The bank that has the note on the adjacent one that they were going to shift the property line. He didn't like that because it changed what they
said. I'd like Mr. Booty to at least step up and just stand here. Just, you don't have to sign in. You don't have to sign in. It's okay.
Sign in.
This is for Nina.
Nina, okay. That for the ball party.
You didn't smile, all right?
We appreciate your time. Right now, I'm Mark Bowie, it's Brett Bowie. We're Bowie Brothers Builders, building houses in Chatham County and mainly Chatham County for 35 years. This is the first time we've been to the zoning commission for a variance. Unfortunately, these are black and white photos or drawings. If you looked at our community, what impresses most people when they come into our neighborhood is the live oaks. We actually have a park in front of the community called Century Park because of the, there must be five trees that are 100 years old, oak trees, 100 years old. And we also have several other ones that are set aside in common areas, so a homeowner can never tear down the live oak trees. In this case, my brother called me, and he was out in the field, and on 82, we put a screen porch on the back, and there's about 10-inch, 12-inch live oaks.
About 20-inch live
oaks. 20-inch, yeah. So we granted, I just, over the phone, you gotta move if you can. What we didn't calculate, as you can tell, 81's, most of our home sites are rectangle shape, so moving up wouldn't have been a problem, but this one, 82 pinches in a little bit, like a pie shape, and that's where that front corner encroached. If we'd have had, you know, so just asking for variance, it's one of these honest mistakes that we come across every now and then.
Any questions for the petitioner? Anyone here from the public to speak on this matter? Hearing none, we're going to take a motion. First, we'll do a motion for 19 Rockaway Lane.
Motion to approve the variance for 19 Rockaway.
Second.
More discussion, we'll go ahead and vote. Now entertain a motion for 21 Rockaway Lane.
Same motion to approve the variance for 21 Rockaway Lane.
I'll second it.
Discussion. Go ahead and vote.
I thought I did. But she said that in the December meeting that they would appoint somebody. So we should.
They have someone in mind?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So hopefully they will be here in January.
All right.
I have one question. I didn't want to bring this up.
Do we need to adjourn or do you?
Yeah, we could adjourn and then I'll ask.
We're adjourned.